I'm Savannah.
I'm Rachel.
And this is
That's What She Said.
In season 2, episode 14, titled The Carpet, we learn a little bit about Michael's good old days in sales. At 6 minutes and 20 seconds into the episode, he tells the cameras the following quote.
Ugh, Ed Truck was the manager before me. Horrible. He hated fun. It was like, oh, Ed Truck is walking towards us. Stop having fun. Start pretending to do work. Ugh, what a jerk. You know what? I swore to myself that if I ever got the chance to walk around the room as a manager, people would laugh when they saw me coming and applaud when I walk away.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Things are feeling a little different in the studio today.
They are, and it's because you're crazy. You're wild.
I'm delusional. That's what I am. I suggested that we should switch seats for tonight just to mix up the feng shui and to get the creative juices flowing. I feel like change is good for that.
I would agree, and I was just surprised because I always sit on the same side, mm-hmm. in the same chair. Mm-hmm. I'm at the same angle from Michael Scott, the that same angle from you, mm-hmm. the window. Now I'm just in a whole new direction.
A whole new world. I will say Michael Scott is looking at both of us somehow.
Yeah, his eyes just follow you.
Like the Mona Lisa.
Like over here.
Pretty groundbreaking, actually.
Just comparing that to the Mona Lisa, casually.
Well, how was your week this week?
My week was good. My soccer team that I coach won our first game.
Nice. And the score was?
The score was 6-0.
That is impressive. I just wanted you to share that with everyone. That's amazing.
I am also very impressed by it. And it's fun to start the season like that.
Yeah. I mean, this was, the first game, right?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So we keep going forward, but I've never had a team win that much.
On the first game of the season.
I don't think I've ever, not one that I've coached.
Yet. Right. Well, congratulations. Thank you. I mean, you should feel proud of yourself.
Yes, I do. That's all amazing, though. When it comes to coaching games, I'm like, all right, I'm just standing there yelling at them.
You're just supervising.
Like, I can't help too much at this point.
Yeah, that's fair.
Direct a little, but I'm like, you guys gotta run. Like, I don't know.
Would you describe yourself as a strict coach?
No, not necessarily. I think I am probably more open than other coaches. Mm-hmm. I mean, these girls are a little bit older too, so they're right. I think I'm a little more open, and I do a lot of the like emotional connection between each other, and between me and them.
That is so important for the community, feeling on a team.
Right, but I will also set high standards together, and then I will enforce I'll enforce them. They're still running and. Things I consider pretty basic, though, like listening to your teammates, trying your best,
I mean, those are also like foundational skills in life,
right?
So
exactly, I consider coaching for all.
I love that. Coach Rachel.
Coach Rachel. Sometimes they go, bruh, and I'm like, yeah, you mean coach?
That's coach. You mean to you?
Yes, sir, ma'am, coach. Yeah. But it's like this generation. That's just how they. But I'm like, that sounds pretty like, you want to fight? Like,
aggressive? Is that a threat?
Yeah. Anyway, it's fun. And we won our first game today. So good stuff.
That's fantastic. That is great news. That's also a great Dundee for your week.
Yeah. Yep. That's it.
So my week was pretty good too. I'm glad the sun finally decided to come out again.
Today was gorgeous.
And we were living in Forks, Washington there for a few days. Not gonna lie.
With the Cullens.
Yes. Very emo. And today I got to work kind of the first event of our busy season, which is fall coming up. I got to work a bridal shower at my venue, just a little 24 person little get together, and they did gifts and games, and we catered it. Obviously, they had like a smorgasbord of amazing handheld brunch food. Ooh. Like a ladies who lunch and play bridge situation.
Did they have
it? Was nice
dessert.
They had mini key lime tartlets, which we pipe and garnish ourselves. Ooh. We pipe them with like a mousse, a key lime mousse, and then do a lime zest on them for the key lime. It's so good. And then they also have brownies. Okay. So classic option. That sounds amazing. And they brought their own amazing cake. It was covered in flowers and was pink and was a strawberry pound cake, and it was so beautiful.
That sounds like the best bridal shower ever.
So it was fun, and it was a nice way to ease back into events. You know, it wasn't a full-fledged wedding of like 200 people. It was like something chill and manageable, and the weather was nice, so it was good.
We both had wins today. We both got firsts out of the way.
That's true.
That's what she said.
All right, well, I'm ready to get down to stinky business getting into this episode. What about you?
It stinks in here. There is stink in there. I'm ready. Let's get into Beater Bear.
Let's do it. Okay, Rachel, number one, taking all of your vacation days the third week in January, Beater Bear.
You called out Pam real hard on that one.
I didn't say her name.
That's a bear, 100%.
Yeah.
That makes me nervous just thinking about it.
What if you get sick?
Yeah.
Or what if you just get depressed and you need a vacation? Like, all of us.
I know. And also, you have, like, the Christmas break and stuff. So, genuinely only 3 weeks. Like, it wasn't...
And at that point, you have almost a full year until you get vacation again. Me out. Oh, my gosh. So, bear for that. Okay. Number two. Fear Factor. Clung, clung. Dun, dun, dun. It's not the right show, but it fit.
I'm just the cleaning lady. Fear Factor is a bear. I don't... That is not entertainment for me. You don't
like the competition aspect or, like, the context, like, of what they're doing?
Yeah, it's just...
Gross.
Yeah.
Hard to watch.
Yeah. All them. All them things.
A lot of people would say that about The Office, but... We stand strong.
We keep doing our thing.
Okay, number three, Michael in sales in the bullpen.
I think this is a beat. I love Michael in sales. It also gives a glimpse into his past.
There's a certain spirit about it, you know?
It's the Michael Scott in sales lore. And I think even as a boss, you're like, how did he get here? You know? And this shows you kind of how that happened.
That's true. We get some backstory there. Okay, number four, Ryan and Kelly's potential relationship. Heavy on the potential.
Potential.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan and Kelly are a beat for me because they are so chaotic.
They are. And at the end of the day, you can tell Ryan actually likes her. They are
perfect for each other.
Like, they feed off the drama. Way. They love it.
Yeah, I think those actors do a really good job.
I agree. Okay, number five. The best for last. Ed Truck's advice to Michael.
Ed Truck. Yeah, he says, you know, you can't be friends with the people you work with.
Why can't your friends be your friends and your family be your family?
He's a boundaries king.
We respect that.
We do. Yeah, okay. I think that's a beat.
I agree. I would agree.
I mean, Ed Truck.
What a legend.
Yeah, he has work-life balance.
Okay, so the cold open of this episode opens up with Jim glancing at Ryan, who is at reception in Pam's seat.
Switching seats.
Oh.
Switching seats, much like us today.
There's a theme. I'm sensing a theme here. So Jim is telling the cameras that Pam is on vacation, so Ryan is filling in for her while she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be good when she gets back. He's looking forward to this. And he also says that she set a date for her wedding. He's like, so that'll be nice. It's in summer.
It's very, like, restrained. And so Ryan has a talking head next saying, Jim's been looking at me kind of a lot lately.
Mm-hmm. And the camera pans to Jim just, like, randomly looking over at Ryan, obviously expecting Pam.
Searching for Pam.
Yes.
And Ryan says, but he's not creeped out by it. Why?
Because it's nothing compared to the way Michael looks at Ryan. To which we pan over and see that Michael is peering
through his blinds.
Michael Myers-esque peering through his blinds at Ryan, like, just dead eyes. I can't.
Like, no blink.
No blink. It's bad. And that makes you think, does he look at Pam that way when she's not looking?
Ew. No, I think it's just Ryan. Has to be.
But I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder.
Rough thought.
Makes you wonder. So after the cold open, we come back a day or two, supposedly later, when Pam has come back from vacation finally.
Pam is back in the office.
And Michael comes in to greet her. You know, she's been gone. He's like, hey, how's it going, Pam? Like, how was your vacation? All that stuff.
You get lucky?
Oh, God. She went to the Poconos, by the way. She tells us this in a talking head.
Roy and I went to the Poconos.
Yeah. I wish we could have been flies on the wall for that.
And that's how Where's that footage? She made it to the third week in January with her vacation days.
She admits that she gets X amount of vacation days per year, and she got to the third week of the year.
She couldn't hold on any longer.
And used all of them.
You know what, though?
That's concerning.
She works a lot with Michael.
She needs a break. I get it.
But to take all the vacation days.
What are you going to do if you get sick?
Yeah. Fair point. Fair point. So Michael walks into his office after interacting with Pam, and he, a look of shock comes on his face. And he's like, yuck, yuck. There's stink in there.
What is that? Is that a bird?
So he set up the alarm. So everyone kind of comes running to peer in his office, guess what this smell is. Should we go through some of the reactions?
We absolutely should.
Okay. So, is that a bird? Is one of them.
Yes.
Pam's like, no, I don't think it's a bird.
I don't think it's a bird. I cannot believe a pipe burst and left that in there. I don't think a pipe burst. No.
Maybe it's roadkill.
Which is what Pam suggests. Maybe it grew. Which is our lovely Kevin.
Dwight says... He's, like, examining it, so Dwight obviously went straight in.
Of course.
He's like, from this angle, it looks very different, and...
He seems to be very unaffected by the smell, which is very concerning to me, because his face is very close to
it.
Do
you know why?
He works on a farm. He's used to and crazy
his,
smells.
His nose is... The too proportions small. Of his nose are too small.
He has a small sniffer. That's what she said.
What holds up his glasses?
No, that's a great point.
So, okay. Creed then, we have to mention, comes by and says...
Somebody making soup?
Which is just the best Creed line ever.
Just disgusting. So, Michael convinces Kevin... Well, not really. He kind of forces Kevin to investigate further. Unfortunately, Kevin was edging towards the doorway, trying to hand his coffee to Michael. Michael says, I'm not holding your coffee. Get in there. And he kind of shoves him into the room.
And closes the door.
Closes the door. And Kevin is stuck in there holding his breath.
It's so smelly.
It's bad. He says, it's so smelly. Come on, Michael, let me out. I can't hold my breath for that long.
And Michael's
like, panicking.
Tell me what it is and I'll let you out.
And then everyone's like, let him out. Let him out. They're freaking out. So that's pretty disgusting as well. He finally escapes the room and
busted out.
We later see that a cleaning lady has come to try and salvage this carpet that has been decimated.
And at this point, we don't know what the smell is, what this thing is.
We have no idea.
We're assuming some human liquid. Or solid of some sort.
Yes. And the camera doesn't really let you see all of it. You get like a small glimpse of it and you're like, that could be anything.
So the cleaning lady kind of scrubs this into the fibers of the carpet.
Unfortunately.
Because when she leaves, Michael tries to sit in there and he's like, can't deal with the smell.
It's still bad.
That's where it comes up where he says that he loves Fear Factor. So this is his audition tape, essentially.
Exactly. He loves anything that Joe Rogan does, especially Fear Factor. And he's auditioning by dealing with this disgusting carpet incident.
Yeah. He does say to the cameras, it could have been done out of hate or out of love, but eventually comes around to the point that he thinks it's an act of terrorism against the office.
And then he later on feels like it's also a hate crime. So there's that too.
And Stanley would understand that.
Of course.
So we go through talking heads from a bunch of people from the office reacting to this thing that happened on the carpet.
Yeah.
And some of the best ones are Ryan and Jim, the two kind of like pranksters, I guess. Laughing, like clearly amused, but then quickly kind of going, oh, it wasn't me. like getting serious about it.
Right. Like that's where they draw the line as pranksters. Oscar says it was wrong, but I get it.
Yeah. Again, he kind of giggles too. Yes. Like everyone's amused. Angela blames Kevin because this is exactly his sense of humor.
That is very true. I would agree with that. Kevin says that everyone is a suspect.
He's not ruling anybody out.
Nope.
Pam says, I can't believe anyone hates Michael that much. Well, maybe.
Because it is somewhat believable. Mm-hmm. Oscar and Creed actually think that it was each other, which is hilarious. Also a very Creed thing to do, I feel.
They're like, oh, I thought it was you. Oh, come on. It had to have been Creed.
Dwight thinks that it happened for a reason because now Michael moves to sit next to him in the bullpen. Mm. He takes Jim's desk.
He says, a girl I know would call it a gift from God.
Obviously talking about Angela.
Yep. Yeah. So then there's a bunch of changes of scenery in this episode. So first off, Roy and Daryl from the warehouse are replacing the full carpet in Michael's office. Mm-hmm. That puts Roy in the upstairs office.
Near Pam and Jim.
In between Pam and Jim, essentially. Mm-hmm. So they are giggling, hanging out all day, sharing looks. Daryl and Roy are working, but they kind of end up like working in quotations because they end up basically drinking and hanging out in Michael's office.
Right.
With the door closed.
Essentially a vacation for them, it seems like.
Definitely.
They're chilling.
And they also provide a little bit of a check for Michael because, you know, Michael usually goes unchecked upstairs, but he thinks these guys are really cool and they will make fun of him.
Yes, they will. So, because of all of this, Michael takes Jim's desk and Jim moves to the annex by Toby and Kelly.
The dynamic duo back there.
He ends up sitting back to back with Kelly in this tiny, tiny cubicle. And he soon finds out why Toby moved because of a, quote, allergy.
Yeah, Kelly said Toby had an allergy. And Jim's like, to the desk?
Like, she's like, yeah, weird.
But we don't know much about Kelly yet, right? And in this episode, her character really comes out. So Kelly is a nonstop talker.
And she's nosy. She wants all the gossip. She wants to know what you're doing. She will look over your shoulder at your computer screen.
Which she did to Jim because he is Googling someplace in the Poconos.
That someone just came back from.
Yeah, she's all over him, talking his ear off about everything and anything. And Jim eventually goes to Toby in the break room, right?
Yep.
And he says, you know, you just couldn't take it anymore, huh? That's why you moved away from that cubicle?
And Toby's like, I don't know what you mean.
Smooth Toby.
Like, he's probably just happy that someone else is getting a dose of that medicine, you know?
For real. So Jim's back there, and it's weird because he's isolated from the rest of the office. Ryan comes over to ask Jim a question, and when he leaves, Kelly goes full, like, 13-year-old girl.
Boy crazy.
Boy crazy.
Yes.
She's like, OMG, he's so cute. I like him so much. Will you talk to him for me? I'm too shy.
Which is like, how old is she right now?
It's quite an interesting character, but I also feel like it's so relatable.
Oh, yes. As a girl, yes. Or as anyone who becomes boy crazy at any age, yes. That's totally how it is. You want someone else to go pass the note or talk to the person.
Pass the note, exactly. Yes. That's the image I get.
Yes.
So that kind of becomes Jim's day. He goes back and forth between Ryan and Kelly, you know, figuring out what the other one is looking for. So we'll get into that a little more in a bit. But basically, because of all these changes of scenery, Jim and Pam don't have their moments together.
Yep, because Roy is distracting Pam, and they're giggling at each other. And then he's sitting in the dang annex with Kelly. So his project of the day...
He's stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Stop. Is Kelly the rock?
Could go either way. Jim feels pretty lost today. And there's quite a few shots of him sort of stuck between Rory and Pam and Kelly. He'll like wander into the bathroom to avoid both of them.
And I feel like he's not really able to get any work done because Kelly is just blabbing. And I also wonder, do you think all of his stuff was on his original computer? Or like, that's how do you question. Think the technology works there? Because I know sometimes you can laptops. Like log in to a domain and like pull up your stuff on any computer, but
maybe that's it
for this time frame. You know, I'm like, that probably wasn't a thing.
Or he could just log into his sales website.
Yeah, true. Maybe they had a software, but like, I would be so annoyed because I need my specific atmosphere to work productively.
Well, that's your desk.
Successfully. Exactly.
You're allowed to have a specific atmosphere. The problem is when somebody comes in and takes your desk from you.
Yes, that is true. That is true. So while Michael is in the sales bullpen at Jim's desk,
he's feeling good.
He's feeling good. He's hamming it up and talking about his old boss, Ed Truck.
Ugh, Ed Truck hated fun.
He hated fun. Michael tells Dwight tales of the good old days about him and Todd Packer, who we've met before. So we know how that goes.
Right. We know that dynamic.
So he's talking about how Packer gave someone a swirly once and how they used to wear their pants backwards. And also that Packer banged every chick in the office, which is
gross.
Yeah.
Michael's super annoying with the sales team. He's like walking around. He's punching Creed in the arm.
Poor Creed. I'm surprised he didn't break his arm.
Jeez. Yeah, wait. He's like doing that old, you know, that old fashioned raid. He said he's like old fashioned raid sales on accounting.
And he throws everyone's stuff on the floor, just destroying everything.
Like all of accounting. And he thinks it's funny.
So bad. And then he's like, Pam, watch out. You might be next. She's like, you're going to throw my stuff on the ground? He's like, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah. So Michael's causing chaos and disrupting everybody's workday. And even though Dwight starts to annoy Michael, Michael annoys Dwight a little bit too.
He does. Dwight, for some reason, is not actually doing work today, which is surprising to me.
He's so excited he had the gift of Michael.
That is true. But he has busied himself with repeatedly calling a local radio station.
Rock 107.
To try to be the 107th caller. And this pisses Michael off to the point where he's like, stop it. Just stop. And Dwight's like, but I have to make a sales call. And he's like, do you really? And he's like, yes. And he's like slowly dialing
covering
the number.
Mouthpiece.
Hello, am I the 107th caller? Like, it's bad. And Michael now starts a competition to try to get people motivated to do work and, you know, get the sales spirit up. He creates this competition where they have the chance to win $83, 83 of his dollars.
He says, I'm going to put a crisp $100 bill. And then he starts counting
70,
out.
70, 80, 1, 2, 3.
$83. And he goes, I'm going to put it here and puts it, in, you know, in a...
behind the plaque on the wall.
Yes, the plaque. Mm-hmm. And then Daryl walks by and Michael goes, oh, I'm going to actually put this in a safe place on my computer, like, next to my computer.
Come on, come on.
Brutal.
So there's a competition for the person who makes the highest sales of the day. They'll get the $83. And Michael is also participating in this competition, mind you.
He takes Jim's clients.
So he has the chance to win back his $83 with business that he did not incite. He's stealing clients for this competition,
he
by the way.
He is stealing them, but also he's losing as this competition goes on.
Which is embarrassing for him.
Phyllis, Stanley, Dwight, everyone's outselling him.
But despite losing, he's critiquing Dwight's sales call tactics. He's telling Dwight that he needs to tell a joke to really hook the client in.
Classic
and
Michael.
This goes terribly wrong. I would like to share with you what this joke was.
Tell me.
So he's like, well, I don't know any jokes. And Michael's like, come on, isn't there something that like your weird cousin told you or something? And Dwight's like, you're right. Mose did tell me a joke. I have one. And I'm really surprised that Michael did not make Dwight tell him what the joke was before he said the joke to the client. However, he dials up this client who just so happens to be his favorite client. And he says, what is black and white and red all over? A nun with a beat for a head. And he's like laughing, just like like so weird, and he thinks it's so funny. And then obviously it's made the client upset because Dwight is like, oh, I'm Catholic too, or my grandmother was Catholic, or like weird, something like offensive. That. Yes, yeah. Yes. So that went terribly, terribly wrong.
And then Michael, doesn't he just grab the phone?
Yes.
And he takes, Dwight's like, that's my biggest client. And Michael's like, oh, basically calls Dwight stupid and yes. says, what can I do to help you? So he, like you said, he didn't even bring in that business, but no. he's also just siphoning off Dwight's the other people's clients.
Correct. And it's funny because Dwight has a talking head. He's trying to like recover his ego after this happened, I think. But he's talking about how a manager once told him he has like amazing qualities, which were McService, service, Mc competence, and Mc punctuality. So apparently Dwight Schrute has worked at McDonald's, or so it seems.
I wonder where he worked.
Where could it have been? So there's that. Michael also talks to Roy and Daryl about their progress on his office. Mm. He's like, you're taking way too long. What is taking forever? Like, I don't understand. It takes the crew an extreme makeover 1 hour to redo a whole house.
Come on.
You would be fired.
You would be done.
You would be fired if you were on that show.
Yeah, so there's a lot of just weird dynamics today, and everyone's sort of on edge. Michael eventually cancels that sales contest, right?
Mm-hmm.
He starts feeling self-conscious about what was done in his office with the carpet
right.
when he hears Oscar and Creed still giggling.
Yes, yes. And he's saying that he's a victim of a hate crime. Stanley knows what he's talking about.
Stanley says, that's not what a hate crime is.
Well, I hated it. So no one's admitting to what was done in the office.
Carpet.
He's still on this like witch hunt and like, you know, being like, who did it? Which one of you did it? But just tell me.
He also tried, like he tried to integrate with everyone. However, he just couldn't quite do it.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? Like
as
he
usual.
Tried to kind of forget and move on, but he was like haunted. And then he kind of saw people laughing about it still. And he
right.
was like, oh no, am I the butt of the joke?
Insecure.
Yeah.
He loves inside jokes. Would love to be a part of one someday.
And so he gets on, you know, like he gets uncomfortable about it. And he's like, just admit it. Just stand up. Just tell me. And no one's admitting it. So he gives them all a timeout.
So they all just have to sit there quietly. And while they are all in timeout, Ryan and Kelly and Jim are still on this mission to get Ryan and Kelly together, essentially.
Yeah. So let's go into that dynamic because I love that pops up in this episode.
This is Jim's assignment for the day. So Jim asks Ryan what he thinks of Kelly. And Ryan says she's cool.
Did you see the emoji I put there, though?
She put a peach emoji next to this one.
Because Ryan's... says, hey, like, depends if you like a little junk and she's cool.
Yeah,
he kind of looks at the cameras and gets nervous.
Exactly. So then Ryan is like, is she looking for a long-term thing? Do you think she'd want to just hang out, hook up, whatever?
What do you think Kelly said?
Kelly, let me tell you, long-term for sure. Get married, have babies, like super romantic, idealistic, like Disney princess vibes.
And Ryan says, you know what? Why not? He tells the camera she's cute. I probably won't be here long.
Indicating that he definitely wants something casual.
And it's just hilarious watching the show back because you're like, oh, it starts so innocently.
Yes.
And it becomes so complicated
with
these two.
Started out as a wham bam, thank you, ma'am, and now look at us.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
So then while the office workers are still in timeout, Jim, Ryan, and Kelly are still doing their thing in the annex. Now we pan to outside the building next to a dumpster with Michael and Ed Truck.
The dumpster has a carpet in it.
Sticking out of it, rolled up.
So Michael called his ex-boss, whom he hated, Ed Truck.
Yes.
And told him there was a problem with his pension.
Yes.
To get him there.
And mind you, as we're going into this scene, we are shown a picture of Michael Scott with a fabulous mullet.
Fabulous.
Shaking the hand of Ed Truck when he was his boss. So we are getting a little blast from the past here. Michael and Ed Truck are talking outside of this dumpster because he lured him there
under false pretenses
about his pension. And so really the reason was for Ed Truck to come smell this carpet in the dumpster and tell Michael if this ever happened to him.
And Michael's asking for advice, which I think is interesting here.
He is.
He's so vulnerable.
Yes, he's asking for advice on managing and, like, how to be more of, like, a family and, like, how to have relationships with his employees. And Ed Truck is like, whoa, 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 dude, no. Why can't your friends be your friends, your family be your family, and your employees be your employees? Why can't they all be separate? And right. Michael is very passionate about the opposite. He wants them all to be family, friends, and employees, coworkers.
And lovers, yeah.
And lovers, yes.
All in one. So this is a really interesting, like, seeing this difference of philosophy bump up against Michael's stubborn brain from someone he doesn't even really seem to respect or like. But like you said, there is some underlying...
Dwightism in him.
Dwightism. See, toward, I don't know if it's respect. So Dwightism toward, is a good way to say it.
Toward Ed Truck, for sure. But I think also he recognizes that he feels Dwight is a loser. So he doesn't want to embody that too much when interacting with Ed Truck and talking about Ed Truck, because he's like, of course he doesn't want to be seen as a loser. He wants to be so badly the cool guy, you
and
know?
And loved by his employees. Yes. So he does say to Ed Truck, he says, you can love a boss like you do a father.
And he's like, I don't think it happens like that.
But that's exactly what Michael sees himself as or wants to be.
Right.
So Ed Truck's saying, hey, just give him a stable place to work, right? Like, you're their boss. Like, basically, pardon the pun, like, shit's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to deal with it because you're in a place of responsibility and this is your role here.
Right, right.
And Michael is so bummed.
Yeah, he's really bummed because it's not the answer that he wanted to hear. Also, the verdict on the carpet. Ed Truck does smell this carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And Ed Truck does admit that this same incident did happen to him when he was Michael's boss.
Which, why is this common, first of all?
Why is this not the first time that this has happened? Yeah. That is so concerning. Oh my gosh.
At this little paper company.
Yes. So Michael is kind of trying to piece it together and maybe even think back to when he was working there under Ed Truck and, like, who was there, who could have done it? What's the parallel
here? He hated Ed Truck. So now he thinks they all hate him.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a sad realization because you can see, like, the joy leaving his body.
Yeah, his soul just leaving.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
So let's wrap up a little bit just discussing the sort of alliances in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So since we just talked about the carpet and Ed Truck, yes. Why don't you go ahead and wrap up the mystery? Michael Scott mystery part of it.
Yes. So at the end of the day, while Michael is sitting at Jim's desk towards the end of the day, he receives a call. And he answers, and who is it, Rachel?
Who is it?
Who is it? Who is it?
It's Todd Packer from the good old days.
Oh, Todd Packer. So, of course, he greets Michael with an
slur.
Asinine. Yeah, exactly. And Michael's like, who is this? How did you get this number? Like, he's like freaking out at first. And he's like, you know, it's Todd Packer. And once he realizes it's Todd Packer, he's like, oh, man, Todd Packer, you're the best. Da, 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 da. What are you doing? And Todd Packer is like, I left you a package. Did you get my package?
And Michael's like, what package? And he, you know, he's like, where'd you leave it?
Todd Packer says, right in the middle of your office.
Right in your office. So he's like, oh, guys, did you see a package in there to Roy and Daryl? And Roy goes, do you mean the thing?
Oh, he's like, how big was it? And Todd Packer was like, oh, it was pretty big load. And then that's when Daryl and Roy are like, is he talking about the thing?
Oh, my gosh. And so, of course, this is hilarious, right, to Michael.
Oh.
This is a practical joke done out of love. Everyone is like, what the hell?
And disgusted. It's like panning around to all their faces and they're all just like grimacing, like, ugh, just thinking about Todd Packer doing whatever the heck he did in there.
Michael says, it takes an advanced sense of humor. I don't expect everyone to understand.
Oh, God. I don't want it. I don't want that humor. Absolutely.
Whatever that is, I don't want it.
Ugh. Yeah. That's absolutely disgusting.
Childlike.
So we find out who it is, finally, at the end of the day. It's been all day, essentially.
And Michael's pretty relieved.
He is. And he is actually grateful for it now. He's, like, enjoying the fact that
well,
it happened.
Now it brings him into a partnership instead of isolating
him. An inside
him.
Joke.
Absolutely right.
Okay.
So then Jim is going back to his desk. Mm-hmm. And as he's doing this, Jim and Dwight share a little look. Mm-hmm. And there's sort of a, what? What? Like, moment where they're looking at each other, like, what do you think? And this is really sweet because they're kind of both happy to have
each other back.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Even though they get on each other's nerves, it's like their comfortable dynamic.
Yes.
Might go through a wrench in the works. Even for Dwight, who loves him.
Yes. And I also feel like, for one, I know Jim missed playing his daily prank on Dwight.
100%.
And then also missed seeing Pam slash plotting against Dwight with Pam. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he definitely missed that. But I also feel like part of me wants to believe that Dwight, deep down, missed being pranked. You know what I mean?
It's like victim blaming mentality. Was he asking for it?
Right.
But no, I think you're right.
He probably walks into work every day and is like, what is he going to put in Jell-O today? What is the prank of the day going to be? Like,
well, it also fires him up to be like against Jim.
Yes.
And with Michael, it's that different dynamic.
It is for sure.
So last but not least, let's talk about the Jim and Pam alliance that has been sort of non-existent in this episode.
Yeah, that's true. So at the end of the episode, when Jim gets back to his desk, he checks his voicemails.
Finally
checks his voicemails. He has 7 unread messages.
7
from Pam.
And it's all her talking about her day, saying she'll look up to say something to him, and then Michael's there and it's awful.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, you know, what was that word we made up for when you have a thing stuck in your shoe? Well, I have a thing stuck in my shoe.
There you go.
It's very intimate, cute, telling him about her day.
And also, it's crazy because Roy was in the vicinity during this time. So I'm like, did he not hear that? 2, she was comfortable enough to do that in front of him?
I guess she didn't think anything of it.
True.
But to me, it does
That's
seem
crazy.
It's those little
Brazen.
Thoughts. It is pretty bold. It's those little thoughts throughout the day. But in the episode, it's very sweet, right? Because Jim's been feeling poor all day.
Yes.
And then he's like, she's thinking about
and
me.
And you know, he obviously missed her. He was staring at Ryan all day.
And she missed him too, though.
That is true.
Even though she didn't show it as much.
Yeah.
So it's the voice of Pam leaving these messages. And Jim laughing, smiling all the way to his car as he leaves the office for the day. And that ends the episode.
It's very heartfelt. And it's like you really want to root for them in that moment. It's like tugging on your heartstrings. But also, she just got back from the Poconos with Roy and was giggling with him when he was up there cutting up. And I'm just like, it makes it so hard.
It's hard. It's so tough. And you feel bad for Jim. But you also are like, move on.
Honestly.
Like, move on.
Honestly.
But they do have you just root for them because they are good together.
They are. So I think that wraps up the episode pretty good. That I'm glad we got that over with. I'll let you guys know. We like tried to record that like 3 times this episode. So we knew our facts this time around. Okay, we got it done.
We practiced.
But we did. We practiced, we studied, we got it done. So I'm excited to move on to trivia. Do you want to get into that?
Let's do it. Time for some trivia.
So this episode is the only one which features an appearance by Ed Truck, the manager who preceded Michael. Ed is mentioned several times throughout the series, but this is his first appearance and only appearance.
That's right. This is the only time we see him.
Mm-hmm.
Played by Ken Howard.
Yes.
Ed Truck. So this episode is somewhat similar to the UK version of the show, which, as we talked about, season 2 has its own arc.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. In the episode, David Brent's offended that someone superimposes his face on a pornographic image until he finds out that it was his good friend.
So it's
Michael Packer.
Parallel, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
So, and I also think it's interesting that they brought back that plot line because season 2 doesn't have any of that shot for, like, same as the British version.
Exactly, yeah. That's super interesting. And also, the pranks are very different.
Right.
But I feel like they probably fit the characters, you know what I mean?
And the audience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so Rock 107, the radio station that Dwight keeps calling, is an actual radio station in the Scranton area. Mm-hmm. It's 107 WEZX.
Ooh, a classic.
That was my radio voice.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. This episode was originally intended to air before The Secret. And what's interesting about that is it explains why this episode does not credit the non-starring cast members as series regulars, but The Secret does.
Oh, so you're right.
This one was supposed to sort of air first, and it didn't.
Oh, wow. Huh. I wonder why. I wonder why they...
Well, I also wonder about the length, because The Secret is when it's revealed. And remember, there's Booze Cruise, The Injury, and then The Secret. So I wonder if they were debating the length of time.
Yeah.
Between them.
True.
I don't know.
That's interesting.
That is interesting with the series regulars.
Yeah. So this is the first episode in which Kelly is a chatterbox. We get to have a peek into her personality a little more.
Kelly.
In earlier episodes, she didn't exhibit this personality trait. So, like,
not at
just
all.
Usually very quiet, very kind of, like, keeps to herself. But I personally think that, like, Ryan brings it out in her.
Right.
You know?
Schoolgirl, yeah. Something I did notice is that when they're having the sales competition, Stanley's in first place.
Oh, Stanley.
And then I think it's Dwight and then Phyllis and then Michael, of course, at
Stanley
the bottom.
Stanley wants those $83, okay?
If we know anything about Stanley.
He's in it for the money, okay?
As you mentioned before, the connection between Michael's good old days in the sales office and what happened on the carpet with him and Ed Truck. So just to wrap that up, it's implied, right, that Todd Packer did the same thing to Ed Truck.
Right.
But he hated Ed Truck. And him and Michael are bros, so I guess that's just his personality.
Love language?
Don't even say that.
Could have been done out of love. You don't know. You don't know. Above Kelly's desk in the annex hangs a whiteboard with quarterly sales numbers, and Mr. Dwight Schrute has had the most sales for this quarter.
Dwight.
Not shocked.
No, he's a hard worker.
Yes. When Packer calls Michael to reveal that he left him a package, it's thought by some that he can be heard saying, "Shit on the floor, Michael."
Oh, what?
As Michael is talking, but he's actually saying, "Sit on the throne." I don't know. I don't know if I caught that.
I've never noticed that one.
Another interesting one is that Michael uses Jim's clients, even though in future episodes, Michael has his own clients as the regional manager.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
He just stole Jim's clients for the day.
All right, I've had these coals on the fire all day.
Have you now?
Ready to burn your little piggies.
My piggies are ready to be burned. Weird.
It's the coal walk segment, people. Rachel's going to tell us what her coal walk is first.
Yes, so my coal walk is Jim asks Brenda, do we remember who Brenda is?
Remind us.
Brenda is corporate HR lady who comes in on the Booze Cruise episode.
Yep. She's kind of a wet blanket, to be honest.
She's the female Toby.
She is. But Jim calls her up.
Jim calls her up in this episode. The cameras catch it in his little back-to-back cubicle with Kelly and asks her out. It's rough. He is stuttering. He is not smooth Jim.
And he's apparently already emailed her as well.
Like four times.
No.
So it's pretty pathetic.
It is.
And he hangs up and Kelly's like, yikes, basically.
Yeah. You just asked a girl out on the phone.
And so I have a kind of two part. One part of this coal walk is, do Jim and Brenda ever interact?
Does she ever call him back after this even?
I don't think they ever or like in the future or the past.
No, like, I don't recall.
Never. This is the only mention. Also, there's no like attraction between, like, there's nothing.
It's
She's
random.
Just a name.
I have a theory. Can I say it?
Mm-hmm.
So what if, because I'm surprised that Jim said all of this in front of Kelly, knowing her big mouth.
I know what you're going to say.
What if he did it on purpose, or maybe even it's a fake recording or something, so that Kelly would go back and blab about it to Pam and make Pam feel it some type of way?
Hmm.
I just threw water on your coal walk.
That's complex. Well, my other part of the coal walk is, yeah, it's sort of pathetic and sad, but this is also kind of amazing and brave of Jim.
It is.
And he's, again, we just said earlier, like, get over her.
Move on.
He's trying, right?
Yep.
But that
whether
would be
it's performative or not, he is
diabolical if that was the case.
Yeah. Something to think about. I don't know.
I think maybe you're right that he's more crafty.
He's a smart guy. This man plays pranks. Basically you're gets paid to play pranks all day.
He does. He plays both sides of the
think
of the
about
room.
That. Yes. Mm. Yeah.
Okay, what's your coal walk?
So, as usual, I have like a 1.75.
Right. 9 3/4.
So, 9 3/4 this way. All right. Anyone like Harry Potter? We'll do a podcast about that next. Okay. So my first part is about Pam leaving messages for Jim. Mm. So I don't like that she did it while Roy was, you know, in and out of the office all day. And just like, why?
Is it okay if Roy is in the warehouse all day?
See, you're throwing the water right back on mine. So that's a great point.
But I understand what you're saying.
She just got back from the Poconos.
Yeah.
With him.
They were just together for
you
a whole week.
You know what I mean? 10 days. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't understand. And it frustrates me for Jim. Her, like, back and forth and, like, flirting, towing that line. And it's just confusing.
Pam and Jim time.
Yeah.
And Roy is just infiltrating.
Yeah. Yeah. So you kind of hate her, kind of love her for it. Because it's like, that's something I would do to somebody that I like. I would just, like, leave them voicemails or, like, notes or something cute like that. Mm-hmm. So I relate to that. But also, her situation,
it's tough.
It eats me up.
It's getting really complex.
It keeps me up at night. So then also.
Then also.
Pam's PTO. I have a big issue with that.
Taking all the PTO early, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I have like secondhand future disappointment when I want to take off of work, but I realize I used all of my days on the third week in January.
Yeah.
You know what
secondhand
I mean?
Secondhand future disappointment. I love
yes.
that.
Yes. So hate that. And my last part, this one is a heavy hitter. Okay. Get ready for this.
Okay.
Couldn't they have just checked cameras, security cameras, to figure out who did this awful, nasty, horrible thing in the office?
Mm.
Do they not have security cameras? They have a security guard. Okay.
They do later on.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we can assume they also have security cameras in this office building. I don't know.
You would think.
Inside an office?
Where's Billy Merchant? Hi, I need to see the tapes. Thank you.
Inside an office, though? That's a good question. It might just be hallways.
But hallways, yes, but I feel like you could piece together the time.
Yeah, you would still know.
Yeah, because he seemingly did this before anyone was there,
or
obviously.
After.
Exactly.
Hmm.
The other thing is, this is a new part of my coal walk that has just arisen. How did that smell not waft out into the office? Why did no one notice until Michael walked in there? I know it was not contained.
I mean, I was wondering that too, because is the door shut and then they open
it? It wasn't. I don't, well, it might have been.
Mostly
it
shut.
It might have been, but
why didn't we open a window?
It would have been creeping out, I just know.
Yeah.
You don't have a big pile of poop in there. You don't have a big pile of poop on the floor, and it doesn't waft
permeate
through this like central air system. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No. No. There's
I was
no
also
way.
Wondering about replacing the carpet. Is that, like, I guess Daryl and Roy just do what Michael tells them to do? Because IMHO, like, Daryl's the foreman downstairs.
Right.
Like, they got jobs to do.
Right.
Does he technically work for Michael? I don't.
Well, and you know what? I feel like a removal of that kind, a biohazard removal, is truly the job of the, like, janitor.
Right. Or like someone when, who like, knows how to
like when
take
you
out.
Were in elementary school and someone would throw up and the janitor would sprinkle that nasty shit on it and mop it up. Like that, like biohazards, like why is the warehouse, are they even trained to handle something like that?
I guess the cleaning lady cleaned it up. But no, that's a great question.
She rubbed it into the fibers. That poor woman. That
I'm
poor
just
woman.
A cleaning lady. Yeah. yeah, no, that's a great point because I don't think Daryl and Roy are...
like, qualified. Not necessarily not
yeah,
qualified,
but
like...
human... You're right.
Waste.
Biohazard. Yeah.
Like, who cleans your toilets? That's who needs to be cleaning this up.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. That sounds terrible.
Sorry.
But, like, under job description. You know what I mean?
Yes. I hear what you're saying. Like, that's a good point.
And I would also be mad if I was a warehouse worker and I was like...
That's what I'm saying. Did he tell them they had to do this? Or did he... ask them, did they volunteer because they knew
they could
get drunk and play drinking games in his
probably
office?
Probably take advantage of him. Yeah,
I
absolutely.
Don't know. That's a great cold walk.
Yeah, so a very loaded one there, but yeah. All right. Well, I would like to move on to the Dundies portion
Dundies.
Of this episode. Dun, 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 Dundies.
With the head movement.
Okay. Do you want to hear mine first?
Please, tell me.
Okay. Mine is the Closet Dundee.
The Closet Dundee. Okay,
and it's
explain.
Not what you're thinking. So Kelly, in this episode, in one of her rants to Jim, she explains that her closets are too small.
Mm.
So small, in fact, that, like, you can't even hang something on a hanger in it. She's like, how hard is it to measure a closet to the width of a hanger? How hard is it? Nothing fits in my closet. She's like, so I've just gotten to the point where I just have all my clothes and all these piles all over my apartment. And I just walk around the little piles and pick out an outfit. I'm awarding this a Dundee because I feel like, for me, that's very relatable.
No, is this how you live your life?
You know how sometimes you have laundry day and it turns into laundry days?
Right.
And you're just picking stuff from the pile. It's kind of nice because it's like...
it's already
out. Just out. It's yes. It's usually like my staple things that I'm washing, like that I wear all the time. Like, so it's just... I relate to it. And I kind of love that method of like creating
the
outfits
Kelly
and
method.
Stuff. Yes, the Kelly method. Exactly.
Ooh.
So, and I feel like it's kind of... a scene that like you could miss if you blink, so it's like very kind of like discreet,
well,
but
background noise.
Yes,
Kelly talking.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But I would just like to highlight it because I don't know, you should maybe try it someday, people.
Just leave your clothes in piles.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
You know, let loose every now and then.
I need to know why her closet was that small.
Right. I feel like maybe she lives in an old building and it's like,
yeah,
I feel like everything back in the day was just smaller.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. Great questions. Okay, Rachel, what's your Dundee for this episode?
Mine is also from a quick little line.
Mm.
And this happens when Michael had just taken Dwight's biggest client
mm-hmm.
to steal him for the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And Dwight is in the kitchen reading a newspaper, I think, with like his back sort of to the room.
Mm-hmm.
And Angela walks in and Dwight says, I know what you're going to say, okay? Like, I'm not standing up for myself or whatever. He starts kind of making excuses because he's embarrassed
right.
about what just happened publicly.
And he doesn't want to disappoint her.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's quiet. And Angela just says, you could outsell Michael any day.
So sweet. We're finally seeing Angela crack.
And them being super vulnerable with each other in the office.
Mm-hmm. And we're just starting to see more of their dynamic that we don't typically see. And also they're very secretive and kind of...
and like...
introspective.
This isn't the right word, but like not one-dimensional characters. But Angela's like strict and pristine.
Mm-hmm.
Dwight's like loyal and bumbling, right? Like
yes.
they have their categories
uh-huh.
and their roles they play, Dwight and Michael, obviously. And you just, you see a little, like you said, a little crack
mm-hmm.
in the veneer in this one.
Mm-hmm. And it makes you feel like, wow, Angela's like a real person. And
exactly.
is she nice? Is she actually nice?
Well, she really cares about him.
Yeah.
So
which
that's so sweet.
You would not think was possible. And based on her day-to-day.
They're less complicated. We probably mentioned this before, but less complicated than Pam and Jim.
Yes, yes. Obviously, neither of them is engaged. So
just a little easier.
So there's that.
So this one gets the "you could outsell Michael any day" Dundee.
That's so cute.
Angela to Dwight.
That's actually a good Dundee.
Thanks.
Like, if we were given that out in Chili's, that would be legit.
Right. Mm-hmm. That would be a very lesser-known Angela Dwight conversation.
So true. Speaking of Chili's, we're going to wrap this up, but I want to bring this up because it's kind of full circle from our last episode that we did, the minisode. Speaking of Chili's, remember how we compared the new Chili's to like a Cracker Barrel?
Yeah.
I found out today, as I was scrolling through social media, I found out today that Cracker Barrel is going for a minimalist aesthetic now. Mm-hmm. So they're following Chili's footsteps in that. So apparently they got a new owner.
Following our podcast and listening to our podcast.
Right? Maybe that was the new review we saw. Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel. That's crazy.
Yeah. So like apparently they have new owners now and they're going for a minimalist aesthetic, minimalist look.
What does that like, even mean?
I don't know. I'm scared to know. And I feel like I need to go to a Cracker Barrel ASAP.
Yeah.
To get any last, you know, nostalgia.
We have to like, we have to bang bang like Chili's, like old school Chili's, yes, and old school now, yes, Cracker Barrel. Uh-huh. So that we get all of the 90s.
Because it's going to go away. You hear that, everyone? Go to Cracker Barrel right now. Get you some biscuits. Sit in front of the little fire and play checkers. You enjoy it because it's going to be gone.
It's going to be minimal in a yes. short while. That's
and like, wild. Are they going to change the store? Like, the store is obviously the best part.
It's like a main attraction.
Yes. So just thought I would share that because I thought it was full circle. I was like, wow.
That's wild.
That's a bummer. Anyway. Great episode.
Yes. Real good stuff. The carpet.
Stinky. Thank you all for hanging in. It was a long ride, but we got there.
Follow us on Instagram at whatshesaidpod.dm.
Yes, do that. So we found a season 2 guest. We are now going to be looking for a season 3 guest. We're thinking we'll have one guest every season, hopefully. So any season 3 fans out there, go hit through the roster up. Of episodes. Let us know. Yeah, let us know which one you want to guest on and we'll make it happen. The other thing is that we are going to be sending out some merch to people. We'll post about it on the Instagram. We're going to have a sort of thing where you like, share, comment, like the first 3 people to do that will get some cool stuff from us that we have ordered. So do that. Keep listening and
listen to our office reunion con
episode
recap
minisode. And that's going to be the last minisode of the business trip series. We thought it was a good wrap up. So we'll come out with another minisode series, but we aren't going to give you any spoilers. So you'll have to listen to find out what that's going to be about.
That's what she said.